Thank you. I appreciate it. You can be seated. Be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Be seated. Go ahead and be seated. Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you very much. What a blessing to be here today. I've enjoyed all the singing, and this is an exciting place to be. Wonderful. I enjoyed hearing Dr. Evans lead the singing and watch him lead the singing. That was wonderful. And the special and all the congregation singing, I enjoyed all of it. Good to see you, Brother McSpadden. And good to see each and every one of you. I'm excited about being here. I've really enjoyed it. And I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel 24. 1 Samuel 24. And I'm going to preach to you today out of these verses in this 24th chapter. The introduction to the sermon is longer than the sermon. It takes me a little bit to sort of get going here into the sermon, but I hope it'll be a help. That's the only reason I'm here, is to help. Of course, the only reason I'm here is I've been invited by your pastor to speak, but the only reason I'm here is to help. I don't have any other reason, but I owe this place a debt to First Baptist Church Hammond and Hiles Anderson College, and Dr. Hiles through the years. The first time I came here many, many years ago, and I had two of my children went to school here and graduated. So I owe it a debt. The old pastor schools and different things, I learned so much. And I appreciate every bit of it. I thank God for this place, and you're on my prayer list. I pray for First Baptist Church and Dr. Wilkerson and many of the staff members here and this college, and I pray for you. Now, it's been good to be here. Let me try to help you a little bit. If you look at 1 Samuel 24, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 8. 1 Samuel 24, 8, it says, "And David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, My Lord, the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave, and some bade me kill thee, but mine eyes spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see, yea, the skirt of thy robe in thy hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. Know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in thine hand, for I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. As saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog, after a flea. The Lord therefore be judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand. And it came to pass, when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And thou hast showed this day how much how that thou hast dealt well with me. For as much as when the Lord hath delivered me into thine hand, thou killest me not. For if a man did find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good for that thou hast done unto me this day. And now, behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. Swear now, therefore, unto me by the Lord, that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David sware unto Saul. And Saul went home, but David and his men gat them up unto the hole. Now, back there in verse number 14, David asked a question to Saul. He said, after whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog or after a flea? Now I'm going to preach to you today on this thought. My sermon is this: when kings chase fleas. When kings chase fleas. And let's pray, and then I'll get started. Our Heavenly Father, help me now to be a blessing, I pray, these next few minutes. God, I pray today that there'll be something in this message to help every person seated in this room, something. And Lord, if you'll take the Holy Spirit and drive it home and help me to be completely controlled by the Spirit of God, to not say nothing that would, Lord, be displeasing unto Thee. And Lord, may we get something today and get help in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, everybody here, I believe, knows who King Saul was, the first king of Israel. It was not God's will for Israel ever to have a king, but they said, we want to be like other nations. And they said, we want to be like everybody else. And boy, you get in trouble when you want to be like everybody else. And they said, we'd like to have a king. And Samuel went to the Lord. The Lord said to Samuel, then you tell him, go ahead. And God gave him a king. And they got a good man. I think Saul was a good man. A matter of fact, whenever he was called to be the king of Israel, he was a very humble man, though he was a tall, big man. The Bible said that he was a head and shoulders taller than any of the rest. And the kind of man that you would pick to be a king. And he became the king, and he did good at the first, but then pride crept into his life, and he didn't think he had to listen to anybody. And so he got word from the Lord to go down and fight against the Amalekites and to utterly destroy them. Samuel gave him the word of the Lord, and he went down, and when he came back from fighting in the battle and with his soldiers, he brought back only one Amalekite, and that was King Agag. He brought him back, and he brought back the sheep and the oxen that belonged to the Amalekites. And Samuel heard the lowing of the oxen and the bleating of the sheep, and he came out and met them and said, what meaneth this? What is this? What are you doing? You've brought back the sheep and the oxen. Your orders from the Lord were not to bring these back. And who is this? He said, oh, this is King Agag that I've brought back. And I brought back these sheep, and I brought back these oxen that we might sacrifice unto the Lord. And Samuel asked a question, hath the Lord as great delight in sacrifice as he does obedience? The answer to that's no. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And so he disobeyed the Lord. Now because of it, God took his hand off of King Saul. Took his hand off from being the king. And Samuel loved him, and he wept over him, mourned over him, but he had disobeyed God. Well, then God told Samuel, go down to the house of Jesse. I've picked me a king out of Jesse's, one of his sons. You go down there, and I'll show you. So Samuel goes down to the house of Jesse, and he gets down there and looks over his boys, and God didn't tell him anything. Well, then he said, do you have any others? And he said, I got one that's out keeping the sheep, and you bring him in, and we'll look him over. And as soon as his eyes fell upon David, the Spirit of God said to Samuel, this is him. This is the one that I want. And of course, David then was to be the king. David had two brothers in the army of Israel. And at that time, Israel done went to battle again, and they were fighting the Philistines. And they were up in the mountains in a battle. And Jesse told David, David, you leave the carrying of the sheep for somebody else and take these cheese and bread and food up to your brothers and see how they're faring in the army of Saul fighting the Philistines. So David left and took the food and went up into the mountains to check on his brothers. And when he got up there, on one side of the mountain stood a giant. Standing on the other side of the mountain, and he was cursing God and cursing the army of Israel and making fun of them, making light of them. And here stands Saul and all of the men of Israel, and they of course are just standing and watching. They're doing nothing about it. David gets out of his wagon and comes over and asks, who is this? Who is this? They said, this is Goliath of Gath, an undefeated heavyweight champion who's never lost a fight. Nobody's ever beat him. And David said, well, I'll tell you, he needs to be stopped. This needs to be stopped here. He said, and I'll do something about it. I'll fight him. and his brothers tried to run him off and make him go home. They said, you don't need to be up here in this. And David said, there was a time I was keeping the sheep, and a bear came out on my daddy's sheep, and by the help of God, I killed that bear. And another time, a lion come out on the sheep, and by the help of God, I killed that lion. And the same God that helped me kill that lion and that bear is the same God that will help me conquer that giant. And they said, you need to get away from here. He said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause to go and fight? He said, God doesn't need to be blasphemed. The army of Israel doesn't need to be backed down, made fun of. I'm going to fight. And old Saul, he was glad to hear it. And so he started peeling off his armor, his helmet, his coat of mail, and his sword. And he said, here, David, you take these. And David tried them on. Of course, Saul was a giant of a man himself. And David, that stuff didn't fit. And he said, no, I can't use these. I'm going to have to go with what I know will work. And David goes over and picks up his little shepherd's bag, and in it a sling and some stones. And David goes down in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he goes down, and that giant sees him coming, and the giant comes with his shield and his spear and sword, and here he comes, and every step he's taken towards David, he's cussing God and cussing David, and he said, boy, I'll feed your flesh to the fowls of the air. I'll kill you. And here comes David, and David's winding up that sling, and he turns it loose, turns that rock loose out of that sling, right into the forehead of the giant it goes, and the Bible said he fell down face forward. You know, when I used to box, if you ever seen a man fall face forward, he was done. I mean, he's not getting back up. It's over. You know, if he goes down face forward, there's no use to even count. It's over. You go take your gloves off. Well, David, when the giant fell, and you thought, why did he get hit, the rock going this way? Why didn't he fall backward? Because when David hit him in the forehead, God hit him in the back of the head. Amen. And killed him. David goes over, pulls his old sword out of his scabbard, cuts his head off, and comes dragging that old bloody head back up to the Saul and lays it down, and the Philistines are running through the hills, and the Israelites after them chasing them, and what a victory. Man, they had a victory that day, and the army of Israel won, and God was getting the glory. Somebody went back into town and said, listen, you're not going to believe what happened up there. This teenage boy, come up by the name of David, and he killed that giant, and they ran. I mean, it was a great victory. And like people do, they sat down and began to write songs about it. And they began to write songs, and here comes Saul, as proud as he could be, on that white stallion that morning, coming back into the city, all of his troops behind him, and the ladies of the city, and many of the singers had their instruments out, and they already had that song down. And they started singing as the victors come back into the city. They're singing, and the first verse, Saul loved that first verse. Oh, what a great verse. Saul hath slain thousands. Boy, he liked that verse. But verse 2 nearly killed him. He didn't like it at all. When it said David hath slain tens of thousands, the Bible said Saul eyed David. Now see, that ain't where the problem started. The problem started way back there when he disobeyed God. See these sins gets in whenever you, back here, you disobey God and you're not ready for this other stuff and you don't even know it's in there. Yeah. But now he didn't like that at all. Now I'm still in the introduction, but let me show you what happened. Saul then got the Bible said an evil spirit from the Lord. And God was... Saul couldn't get any peace. And let me tell you, people that get things like that in their heart, they don't have any peace. And you know what he tried to do? Instead of trying to go to an altar and get right with God and really confess it and get right, you know what he did? He tried to put a Band-Aid on it. He said, I need some good music. And he said, I need a good harp player that can come in with the harp and let me sit in my recliner at night, let me lay back and put on a headset and just lay back and shut my eyes and listen to that harp. Well, he said, the best we know around is the son of Jesse. But send him on in. And when he gets in, it's the same one that they're writing them songs about. But old David got to playing that harp, and it was great. Well, finally, Saul said, look, you need to join our staff here. But he still had that hatred in him. And he said, I've got to ruin him some way. And on he went. He got him to to marry his daughter, but he tried to get him killed before he done that. I don't have time to go into all this. But David was so innocent in all of it and naive in it. David said, "Who am I to be the son-in-law of the king? I mean, who am I?" And Saul was really meant that thing for bad. He meant to get David killed in all of it. It got worse. Then Saul's son Jonathan, he meets David, and they become the best of friends. I mean, they were bosom friends, the best of very best of friends. They loved each other very, very much, and they became friends. Well, then that was another thing that was bothering Saul. Every way he turned, God was reminding him that he needed to get right. But he refused to get right. It got so bad that when Saul would go to the supper table after a span of time, it got so bad, preacher, when he'd go to the supper table, he'd go to the supper table and carry his javelin with him, or spear. And brother, they were on several occasions. He tried to kill David. Well, it got to where David didn't even want to go. He didn't even want to go around. And finally, one day, he told Jonathan. He said, "I'm afraid to even come in there." And he said, "I'm afraid to come in." And he said, "Well, what can I tell him?" He said, "Well, your seat's going to be empty." "Well," he said, "you tell him that my family was having something. I went back home to be with my family." But David was afraid of Saul. Finally, it came to the place that there was men in that kingdom that knew that David was the man that God had put his hand on. And David had to flee for his life. And Jonathan played a part in that, of helping David get out. But then Saul was so consumed with jealousy and hatred that when David left, you thought that would have been enough, and he would have said, "Well, he's gone. I don't have to look at him anymore, and I will just give up on him. I'll forget that." But he didn't. He got his horse and got his cavalry detachment, and they mounted up food, and they took with them whatever it would take to chase David, and they set out on an expedition to chase David. And they chased him day and night. And David, part of David's training to be the next king, was this: don't despise things when they come in your life. You know, David hid out his. Now David was going to be the next king, but you know where he dwelled at night? In the mountains, in caves. And let me say this: that the way to the palace is by the way of a cave. If you're not willing to go through the cave and to go through the tough times, you'll not ever pastor no church. You'll not be an evangelist that'll preach meetings, or a missionary that'll go on a field to Mexico and stay 28 years. You're not going to do it. You're not going to do it if you're not willing to go through the cave experience. And David, they had to get food wherever they could and do whatever they could. But Saul, day and night, is pursuing them. One night, and I'll skip out of some of it, but one night Saul was camped in a cave not too far from David, and David's men spotted him and came in and told David, King Saul is camped just over the mountain here. And David took a couple mighty men, and they slipped into the camp. And those mighty men wanted to kill Saul. And by the way, they would have done it if David would have let them. But David said, "Don't you touch him. He's God's anointed. Don't fool with him. You let God handle him. You let God take care of that." But David did take his sword, and without waking Saul, he cut off a piece of his garment. And then they made it back up to their cave out of distance. And David gets back on the side of the mountain, and David cries out, "Saul!" And boy, I can just see Saul jump up and pull his sword, and all of his men are pulling their swords and looking around. And he says, "Saul!" And he said, "Is this thy voice, David?" He said, "Yes." He said, "I could have killed you tonight, but I didn't do it." He said, "You've not been in here." And he said, "Look down at your robe." And he see a chunk of the cloth cut out of that robe. And he began to weep. And David said, "Why are you chasing me? Why are you, the king, pursuing a dead dog like me, or a flea?" David referred to himself as a dead dog or a flea. And then he said, why are you a king that's got a royal throne, a scepter in your hand, a crown on your head, the king of Israel, a king that ought to be ruling and taking care of his people and taking care of things? Why are you chasing a dead dog like me or a flea? Why are you chasing fleas? That's a good question. Why would a king be chasing a flea? He was driven on the outside by hatred on the inside and jealousy. And you know what it was? It was those little fleas that were eating up the king. He was driven by that. He couldn't stand it as long as David was alive. Now let me just give you a couple of things right quick. And I've just got a few minutes, but I want to give you something right here to show you something. I want us to look at the type of a king. I want us to look, if you would, in the book of Revelations and the first chapter. I want you to see the type. I want you to see the type right fast. Revelations 1 and verse number 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the Prince of kings unto the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, look at this, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It says right here that by the blood of Jesus Christ, that you and I are made kings. So there's a type. Not only was Saul a king of Israel, but you and I are kings, you see. And I know that that we're children of the king, but we're kings and priests made by the blood of Jesus Christ. So as kings, we have power with men in our testimony. And as priests, we have power with God. In 1 Peter, I won't turn over there, chapter 2 and verses 5 through 9, it calls us royal priests. We're a peculiar people, a royal priesthood by the blood of Christ. So we are kings and priests. We actually have privileges that Saul did not have. See, Saul was the king, and he even got into some trouble trying to do the work of a priest, stepping over his bounds. But you and I, thank God, that we are kings, and by the blood of Jesus Christ, we're priests also. And so we can come boldly to the throne of grace, and we can have an audience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords anytime we choose to go and talk to him. Amen? So the type is that we're kings. We're kings. Now, the tragedy is when kings chase fleas. It was degrading and disgracing and minimizing his position. Chasing fleas was an outward example of an inward problem. And you see, today, if we're not careful, we can get into the same thing of chasing fleas. God made you as a king for a work, to do the work of a king. We ought to be in the king's business. See, we ought to represent the king. We ought to be going out and telling people about the king. We're about going out and telling people about the Savior that we sung about just a few minutes ago. We ought to be walking and talking with the King and representing the King. But if you're not careful, instead of doing that, you can get busy chasing fleas. So we see the type, we are kings. Number two, the tragedy of chasing fleas. I'm talking about what happens when you chase fleas. What happens? Well, let me say chasing fleas will cost you peace of heart. You don't have any peace when you chase fleas. I want to show you something in the book of Ephesians. If you'd look at Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 30. I want you to look at something here in Ephesians 4 and verse number 27 actually is what it says. Be ye angry, sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. See, the devil carries around with him a bag of fleas. See? He carries around a bag of fleas, and he'll turn them loose to see if you're crazy enough to chase them. See? And here's the fleas. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, if Saul had been tenderhearted, forgiven, if he had been kind, if he had put away all that, you know what? There never would have been that flea chasing. All that would have been done away with. But you know what he did? He let a little speck of jealousy creep in, and it began to swell. And brother, he spent his life chasing fleas. What will it do for you? I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll cost you peace of heart. Then let me say, chasing fleas will cost you fellowship with God. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." You see? But you can't chase fleas and have fellowship with God. Chasing fleas will cost you direction about the will of God. See, when you chase fleas, you see, when Saul didn't chase fleas before he became the king, his daddy's donkeys got lost up in the mountains, and his daddy sent Saul up in the mountains with a servant and said, "Go find the donkeys." And they got up there, Brother Ray, in about 3 days, and they couldn't find him. And he said, "You know, we better go on back." And he said, "Dad's going to be worried about us." And he said, "But you know, if we went down into the city, there is in this city a man of God who can show us the way that we ought to go." Now that's when you're not chasing fleas. See, when you're not chasing fleas, you'll come see this man right here for counsel. You see, when you're not chasing fleas, you'll come see Brother Young or Brother Bailey or one of these staff members here, and you'll go see somebody that you know loves God, and they're plugged into God, and things is right. You'll go see the man of God. But let me tell you, when you go to chasing fleas, you can't find God. There's no direction. And what happens is, then he went down when he was chasing fleas. He went and looked up and said, "God, we're going to battle. I need to know what to do and what's going to be the outcome." And God was silent, friend. God would not answer him. So you know what he did? Saul disguised himself and pulled his coat collar up and his hat on and all, and disguised himself best he would. And he went down to the house of the witch of Endor. And when he went down there, she said, "What can I do for you?" She didn't recognize him. If she had, it scared her to death, because Saul used to put witches to death when he was right. But now he's going for counsel with one. "What do you need, sir?" He said, "I need you to pull up an old man for me, if you would." "What's his name?" "Samuel." And old Samuel, I don't understand this. Brother Vasek, I don't understand this other than to say that it was just the will of God for God to allow Samuel to come up out of paradise and speak to Saul. And it was Samuel. He said, "Why have you bothered me?" And when she saw the connection, this is the preacher and this is the king, it scared her. And he said, "Why have you bothered me?" Now, I've had people tell me Saul wasn't saved. I've had people say Saul wasn't saved. And I'm going to tell you something. He was saved. I'll tell you how I know. Because Samuel said, "Tomorrow when you go to battle, you're not coming back. You and your sons tomorrow are going to be here with me." So wherever Samuel was, Saul went. "You'll be with me tomorrow." And his knees smote one against the other. Scared him to death. He was just paralyzed. He didn't know what to say. But you know what? He couldn't find God, and he had to go to a witch to get direction. And let me tell you something. When you're right with God, you'll go to the house of God, to the man of God, and the book of God, and the light will come on. But I'll tell you, when you get to chasing fleas, you won't be able to see your hand in front of your face, neighbor. Oh, let me tell you something. Then chasing fleas can even cost you broken health. Proverbs 14:29. You got your Bible? Turn over there real quick. I'm about through. Proverbs 14 and verse number 29. Look at it here. Look at it. Chasing fleas can cost you broken health. It says the fear of the Lord, verse 27, is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. In the multitude is the king's honor, but in want of people's destruction of the prince. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. He that is a hasty spirit exalts the folly. But look at this. A sound heart is in the life, is the life of the flesh. But envy, the rottenness of the bone. It said, if you can keep your heart solid, you can live on. But when you get envy in you and jealousy in you and bitterness in you, it rottens the bone. Brother, let me tell you something. I know that every health issue that people's got is not caused because of spiritual problems. I know that. So don't leave out here and say that's anybody sick. It's because they wasn't right with the Lord. That's not true. But I will say this, that I do believe that jealousy and bitterness and envy and strife all the time and chasing fleas, my friend, can cost you, listen, your health to decline. Oh, yeah. And then let me tell you, chasing fleas can cost you a happy home life. Let me tell you something. Proverbs 15. Look at Proverbs 15. By the way, spend a lot of time in Proverbs. Proverbs 15, verse 17 and 18. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. A wrathful man. You know what that means? In a rage like Saul. Hey, he couldn't go to the dinner. He couldn't go to the supper table without a spear. Man, only thing I want when I go to the table is a fork and a spoon. Amen. Praise God, you can leave that spear wherever you want it. I don't need that. I just need something to eat the food with. And let me tell you something, but a wrathful man, he stirreth up strife. He's going to cause problems. And in the home, you let a man that doesn't get around down in the workplace and he's mad at somebody that he works with in the workplace and there's strife down there, you know who's going to pay for that? The people that he lives with at home. He comes home that night and takes it out on the wife and the children and winds up getting a divorce because of some man down at the job and he don't even really realize, but what he's doing is he's chasing fleas down on the job and bringing the fleas home and turning them loose on his family, you see. Oh, chasing fleas, it will destroy the emotional stability of your children, Proverbs 22 and 6 and on and on. Oh, there's a lot of children that are nervous wrecks because daddy and mother chase fleas. Then let me tell you what else it does. Chasing fleas leaves you defenseless. Hey, there's people out there. You know why there's so many killings out here on the road? I'm talking about people taking guns, Brother Wilkerson, and shooting people over road rage, over somebody didn't pull out fast enough, or somebody they're not going fast enough, or somebody passed them. And you know what the Bible says in Proverbs 25, 28? Turn over there real fast. I'm about done. Proverbs 25 and verse number 28. Look over there if you would. Proverbs 25, 28. Look what it says. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and that without walls. Hey, you know what? I was in Arizona a while back and I saw this car on the side of the road and another car behind it sort of in a ditch and the car was setting up and there was a man beside the road down on his knees and a fella had a blanket around him, had his arm around him trying to help him. The man looked like he was throwing up and sick, and I thought, well, this man's got sick and this other is just helping him. And I passed about three police cars and then two or three more and then two or three ambulances and a fire truck, and I thought, what in the world? I didn't see anything back that way. When I got into town, I stopped at a little place and a woman said, did you hear about the shooting up here? Said right up here at the intersection. I said, no. But I said, I saw a man down there beside the road helping another man. She said, that was that shooting. I said, well, what was it over? She said, road rage.
A man pulled a gun out and shot another man because somebody passed him or wasn't going fast enough. You know what? Whoever that man was that shot that other man was out of control when he left that day. And probably been out of control for a lot of days. Hey, listen. I'm just simply saying, you can spend your life chasing fleas. When something crops up in your life, you better get rid of it. Hatred. Jealousy. You get jealous of other students around here over something. You get jealous about something. Somebody got to sing and you didn't get to sing. Or you got jealous because somebody got picked for something and you didn't get picked. You got jealous, or you got jealous about something, or you got bitter over something that happened to you. Hey, you better turn all that mess loose. You say, why? Because fleas can make you miserable. Oh, they'll make you miserable. When you chase fleas, it will make you miserable. Oh, let me tell you something. Brother, it'll cost you to lose your testimony. Saul don't have, he was saved, he didn't have no testimony. Hey, let me tell you, it takes a lifetime to build a testimony. It takes a few minutes to lose it. You get to chase some fleas and you can do some things that you'll lose your testimony that'll ruin you. Oh, let me tell you, when kings chase fleas, God didn't design you to chase fleas. God designed you to win souls and live for God. God designed you to teach Sunday school and help people and love people and run bus routes and go to mission fields and work in Christian schools and serve in your church. God didn't save you so you could be a flea chaser. You're a child of the King. Well, let me tell you, there's one remedy. You can get right about it. Hey, you know what? Listen, I'm through, and I want you to listen to this. Do you know what? That Saul chased these fleas. He chased fleas, and it ruined him. It ruined him. It literally ruined him. 7 years he went from the throne to the tomb. 1 Samuel 18:9. He tried to murder David 3 times in 1 Samuel 18:11, 1 Samuel 18:25, and 1 Samuel 19:10. He tried to kill Jonathan, his own boy, in 1 Samuel 18:33. You know why he tried to kill his boy? He was chasing fleas. Philistines come back. Enemies, when you got hatred and you're chasing fleas, they always come back. He couldn't pray. God forsakes him in 1 Samuel 28:7. He keeps company with a witch, 1 Samuel 28. He loses his army in 1 Samuel 31:1. He loses his sons. They die with him. Good way to lose your family is chase fleas. He loses his life. Hey, you know how many Amalekites he brought back? How many did he bring back when he come back from that battle? One. Agag. Let me tell you something. Do you know that right here, and I'm through preaching, but I want you to listen to something. Whenever Saul fell on his own sword and was laying there dying, a soldier come running by and he said, "Sir, help." He was bleeding to death. He said, "Help, would you please stand on me and finish me off? Please kill me." And he obliged him. He killed him. He realizes it's Saul. He takes his bracelets and takes his war garment. And he goes running and he runs to David. And he says, "King David, got good news. I've killed Saul." He said, "You've what?" He said, "I've killed your enemy. I killed Saul." And David grabs him up and pulls him and says, "Who are you?" He said, "I am the son of an Amalekite." If it had destroyed everybody there, there'd have been no flea to take his life. There's one little flea. You don't even know that soldier's name that killed him. I don't either. You see, it's that thing that you don't confess when the altar calls come. It's that bitterness. It's that grudge you got to get. It's that student you won't speak to here. See, when kings chase flee. Oh, let me tell you something. My friends, you better get rid of them. I was preaching in a little cowboy church a while back out west. And a man that worked for Orkin was in that church. And he come by. He said, "Where are you staying?" I told him the name of the hotel. He said, "Oh, my. That's one of our customers." He said, "Sometimes we've had bed bugs and fleas there. You want me to come by and take care of business tonight?" I said, "Yeah, man." Brother, he come in and he went over that place with a fine-tooth comb. Hey, how about you going over your life today with a fine-tooth comb? Why don't you search down in the innermost part of your soul today and say, and by the way, if you're not chasing fleas, why don't you ask God to not let you chase fleas? Lord, help me never get bitter. Help me to obey. Help me to be obedient to the Lord. Would you come? Maybe you know somebody's chasing fleas. You ought to come pray for them. They're in bad shape. It's serious. It's serious. When kings chase fleas, Saul, why are you chasing a dead dog and a flea? Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Why don't you come and pray, say, "God, never let me fall into this." Why don't you come, "Lord, help me never to fall into this. Lord, help me to keep myself right, to stay in my Bible and pray and be an obedient Christian." As our instruments play and we do business with God.